Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves at the very bottom of Daf Chaf Amud Bet. That's 20b, and we are just on the last two lines. We have been discussing various aspects of mourning, and what we talked about at the very end of our last recording was a story where Amemar's grandson had passed away, and Amemar did Kriya three times. First time he did it was by himself, and then when his son came, he did Kriya in front of his son, who was actually the actual Avel. The grandson is just the sheni. The grandfather is just the sheni to him, but he had torn for his grandson. Then he tore again in the presence of his son, and then he realized that when he had torn the second time, he only tore while sitting down. So he stood up and tore his clothes a third time, leading us to believe that it's required, even b'diavad, even secondarily, to tear one's clothes while standing. And that's where the Gemara begins today. Two lines up from the bottom of Chaf Amud Bet. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Amar Le Rav Ashi La Meimar. So Rav Ashi said to Meimar, who had just torn his clothes three times, Kriya De Me'umad Minalan. Tearing one's clothes while standing, what is the biblical source for this? It seems like he's assuming here that tearing Kriya is a requirement from the Torah. We'll see that's not so clear, especially because the first pasuk that he's going to quote is from Iyov, which is not usually where we learn the halachot from the Torah. And the halacha tells us in the very beginning of the book of Job, the first chapter, many terrible things happened to Job, including the death of all of his children. And when he hears that all his children are dead, it says in Perek Aleph Pasuk Chaf, chapter 1, verse 20, Vayakom Iov, Iov got up, Vayikra et Me'ilo, and he tore his coat. So we see here that Iov stood up in order to tear Kriya, and that's where he wants to say. Now, the rest of the verse there continues on and says, Vayagaz et Rosho, and he shaved off all the hair of his head. Vayipol Arza, and he fell to the ground. Vayishtachu, and he prostrated himself on the ground. So Iov had a very emotional reaction. The Gemara is going to ask about the second half of the verse in a moment. We now go to the top of Daf Chaf Aleph, Elameata, but from here, or from now, if we were to learn from Iov, that means that anytime it says in the Torah that a person stands up to do something, we'd have to learn that it has to be done by Amida. So he brings an example. V'amad v'amar lo chafatz de lekachta. This is in a case of Yibum. This is in Devarim chapter 25. And in the case of Yibum, it's where a man's brother dies, and he and his wife are married but have no children. He has no heir. And it's required for the man's oldest brother to marry his widow and have a child in order to perpetuate his line. That's called Yibum. If the man does not want to marry his brother's widow, then he has to do what's called Chalitza, and he has to reject her and say that he doesn't want to build his brother's house. So here that this pasuk says, V'amad V'amar, he stands up and he says, Lo chafatzti lekachta, I do not desire to marry her. So according to that, you would have to do chalitza while standing, because it says ve'amad, and he stood up, ve'amar. It's a little different, interestingly different than the verse in Eo, which says that he stood up vayakom. Here it's ve'amad. It's a little different, but it's still a standing verb. So hachinami, they say, second line, hachinami. Here too, he would have to stand. V'hatanya, but we learn in a braita, ben yoshev, ben omed, ben muta, that one may do chalitza while sitting, while standing, or while leaning. Any of these is an appropriate, guys, for chalitza, although apparently halach lemaisa, the minhag, is to stand. But it's not required by the verse that says that he stands up. So how do you know that just because Iov stood up that it's normative halacha? We could ask other questions about Iov. Iov perhaps wasn't Jewish. Perhaps it was before the giving of the Torah. There may be other reasons that this is a challenging source. But the Gemara says that the grammar is different. Amar Lei, Ravina said back to him, Hatam lo kativ vayamod vayomer. There, in the case of Chalitza, it just said Ve'amad Ve'amar. Hacha, but here in the case of Iov Ketiv, it's written Vayakom, and he got up, Vayikra, and he tore. So when it is in the language of Vav Yud, Vayakom, Vayikra, that is more definitive source. And if it's just Ve'amad Ve'amar without the vavahipuch, then it is not considered something to learn the halacha from. We have a source that supports Ravina, Amar Rami Bar Chama, minayin l'kriya shehim umad. Rami Bar Chama says, what is the biblical source for tearing one's clothes when you are standing? Shenemar, he says, vayakom iyo vayikra. So Rami Bar Chama supports Ravina's position. The Gemara, however, is not yet satisfied, and they ask a question. It seems like this question is asked against Rami Bar Chama, but it could equally be asked against Ravina as well. Dilma, perhaps, milta yitirtahu de'avad. Perhaps the Tanakh is simply describing to us what Iyov did, and what Iyov did was a milta yitirta, an additional action, meaning there is what you're required to do by the halacha, but sometimes people act in ways in their grief that are beyond what's required by halacha. De'ilo te'mahachi, that if you were not to say so, vayagaz et rosho hachinami. As we saw, the continuation of the verse says that Iyov not only tore his clothes, but he also shaved his head bald. Now, he did that as an expression of grief, but it's not required in Jewish law for one to shave their head. That is not an act of mourning. We do allow our hair to grow long. We don't cultivate our hair or brush our hair or cut it, but we don't shave all the hair off our head. So just as Iyov's shaving of his head was a milta yeterta, perhaps standing up in order to tear his clothes was also an additional grief item that's not required by law. So the Gemara accepts this answer and instead chooses another verse. If it were me, I don't know why, the Gemara wouldn't have gone with this verse in the first place. First of all, it's found in the Navi, not in the Ketuvim. And it's a very clear source. Elamehacha, let's learn from this source, from here. And this source is found in the second book of Shmuel, chapter 13. Vayakom HaMelech, this is talking here about David. David HaMelech has just found out that his son Avshalom has killed all of his other children. He's trying to grab the power himself, so Avshalom has killed his other children. When he hears about this, it's a Shmuel Krova. Vayakom HaMelech, the king rose up. Vayikrat Begadav, and he tore his clothes. And here we have the same language as we have with Iyov. Just as it said Vayakom Iyov, here we have Vayakom HaMelech. Just as Iyov said Vayikrat Me'ilo, here it's Vayikrat Begadav. David got up and tore his clothes. So Gemara asked the same question as it asked before. V'dilma milta yitirta avid. Perhaps David was doing something that was not required. He was doing something extra. And the reason for that is that that is also not citing the whole verse. The rest of the verse says, Vayishkav Arza, that David threw himself down on the ground, similar to Iyov. It does not say there that David shaved his head. That was something that Iyov did. But just as Iyov also fell down on the ground, so it says here also that David prostrated himself on the ground. So perhaps he did something extra. De'ilo te'mahachi vayishkav arza hachinami. That if you do not say that it's something extra, what about going down on the ground? It does not seem to be a requirement in halacha for mourners to sleep on the ground. Vehatanya, did we not learn in a braita? Yashav al gabe mita, if the mourner was sitting on a bed, al gabe kise, or on a chair, al gabe udiane, on some kind of household item, as like a jug, or gedola mikulan, according to some versions you have to add it in, you have to fix the words here, gedola mikulan, greater than all of those, al gabe karka, even if he was sitting on the ground, lo yatza yidei chovato, he has not fulfilled his obligation. According to this source, sleeping on the ground or sitting on the ground is not required for mourners, even though that's what David did here. David threw himself down on the ground. It's not required because one who sleeps on the ground has not fulfilled his obligation of mourning. What hasn't he fulfilled? V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan explains, Shelo kayem kfiyata mita. He has not fulfilled the overturning of the bed. One of the requirements for a mourner is that he flip his bed over. They had these kinds of beds that were more like hammocks. They were suspended from the wall, and you had to like flip it over so that you couldn't sleep on it normally. And then you would sleep on it, but it was flipped over. We don't do this really anymore, and Tosfos starts to explain a number of possible reasons why. And one of the reasons, he says, is that it's... our beds are different than their beds. Our beds have four legs. Their beds didn't have four legs. If we flip our bed over, you could still sleep on it. You sleep on the underside. And in any case, we don't really do it anymore. But the source here is saying that you have to fulfill the flipping over of the bed. Just sleeping on the ground is not good enough. So the fact that David was sleeping on the ground seems like an unnecessary requirement or a milta yeterta, an additional argument. So the Gemara answers, Amar Lei, he says back to him, Ke'ein Arza. It was as if he was sleeping on the ground, meaning let's assume that David fulfilled the mitzvah. This is how Rashi explains it, of Kfiyat Hamita. He flipped his bed over and then he slept on it, and that is equivalent to sleeping on the ground, in which case it is a normative halachic thing to do. Sleeping on the ground may not be, but flipping over your bed and then sleeping on it close to the ground is normative halacha. There too, therefore also standing up in order to tear Kriya would be normative, learned from this verse. And this is a better verse to learn because now we've established that both standing up to tear your clothing and sleeping on your overturned bed are normative halacha, whereas in the case of Iyov, we also had him shaving his head, which clearly is not required by the law. Okay, now we insert a essential teaching. Here we're going to have six items that are forbidden to a mourner. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Elu Dvarim Sha'avel Asur Bahen. These are the things that are forbidden to a mourner. Asur b'malacha, he's forbidden to do work. This is during the Shiva. Ubirchitza, and washing his body. Ubisicha, anointing his body with oil. Uvitashmish Hamita, with having intimate marital relations. Uvinilat HaSandal, and wearing comfortable leather shoes. The Asur, we'll go to that in 1 second. So all of these things are quite familiar to us from the fast, from fast days, like Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, and they have, you know, those, that's similar actions of mourning. And then the sixth one is V'asur likrot ba'Torah, he is forbidden to read in the Torah, ubenevi'im, and in the prophets, ubiktuvim, and in the writings, v'lishano b'mishnah, or to learn mishnayot, b'midrash, to learn midrashim, ubahalachot, to learn Jewish law, ubahashas, and to learn Gemara, ubahagadot, so shas presumably means the halachic parts of the Gemara, the agadot are the non-halachic parts of the Gemara. However, v'imhayu rabim tzuchimlo, if the public needs him, if he's the only Torah teacher in town or he is irreplaceable, and so we don't want to punish the townspeople that they can't learn any Torah because their teacher is in Shiva, enu nimna, then he should not prevent himself from teaching Torah, but not for his own sake, only for the sake of the townspeople if they have no one else. Tosos points out here that a number of other items related to Avelut are not mentioned here. These are things that are forbidden to mourners, but things, for instance, that we were just talking about, Kfiyat Hamita, flipping the bed over, which is an action that is required of a mourner, are not mentioned here in this list. Umase, we continue on in the Gemara at the end of the line. Umase umeid bino shel Rabbi Yossi b'tzipori. A certain story happened that the son of Rabbi Yossi died in Tzipori. It's always a tragedy when a child dies before a parent. V'nichnas lebeit hamidrash, and Rabbi Yossi went into the Beit Hamidrash. V'darash kol yom kulo, and he taught the whole day. So apparently it was necessary for him to go teach because they needed him to teach. They needed him to be the teacher. Rabba bar Chana itra be milta, a matter happened to him. In other words, one of his close relatives passed away and he became an avel. Savar delo lemech lepirka, and he thought to himself, he reasoned that he would not go out to the lectures. Pirka were the you know, the Torah lectures. So he said, now that I'm an avel, I won't go out to the lectures. Amar le Rab Chanin said to him, im hayu rabim tzrichim lo, but if the public needs a person, he's quoting, Einu nimna, he shouldn't prevent himself from going. Savar la'okme amora ale. So then he thought to himself, so then he went to the lecture, and he reasoned to himself, well, now since I'm going to the lecture, I will appoint an amora. Now, literally an amora, we tend to refer to an amora as a sage of the Talmud. That is, a Tana is a sage of the period of the Mishnah, and an amora is a sage of the Talmud. But here, amora is used in a slightly different way. Its original wording was a kind of a stage crier. That is, it wasn't, if there were a lot of people and it was a big room, they didn't have microphones, it wasn't assumed that the Rebbe would have to shout in order for everyone to hear him. So he would appoint an Amora, and he would give the lecture in a normal voice, and the Amora would then amplify it and repeat everything that he had said so that everyone in the room could hear that. And that was a typical way in which they gave shiurim, presumably so the Rebbe didn't have to shout. So once he was going to the lecture, he thought he would do it in the normal way, Amar Lei. But then Rav Chanina said back to him, Amar Lei Rav. Rav said to him, Tanya, but we learned in a Braita, Ubilvad Shelo Yami Turgaman. The halacha is that if he is needed for the teacher to teach, even when he is an Avel, he can go teach, but he's not allowed to establish a Turguman. Now, a Turguman is a translator. So the assumption there is that the Rebbe is giving it, let's say, in Hebrew, and the Turguman is translating into Aramaic, just like we do in the Torah reading. But functionally, it's the same role as the Amora, even if it's just a question of volume. The Rebbe says it, and then the Amora repeats it. So it's the same thing, but he's basically telling him, when you're an Avel, you can come give the lecture if the people need you to, but you have to make a shinui, you have to change it so that you don't have an Amora or a Turgamon. The Elehechi Avit, so then what did he do? Kiha Detanya, he did it like this that we learned in a Braita. Ma'asei umeid binosh Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai. There was another story where the son of Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai passed away. V'nichnas lebeit hamidrash, and he went into the study hall. V'nichnas Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, and Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya also went in. V'yashav b'tzido, and sat next to him. V'lachash hu l'Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya. So Rabbi Yehuda bar Ilai gave the lecture to Rabbi Chananya bar Akavya. Rabbi Chananya bar Akavya l'turguman, and then Rabbi Chananya bar Akavya repeated it to the translator. V'turguman hishmiel l'rabim, and the turguman pronounced it or amplified it to the whole group of people that were listening there. So basically he created one additional step. Instead of him just saying it directly to the Turguman, he created the Shinui by, instead of getting rid of the Turguman, by saying it to his Chaver, who then said it to the Turguman on his behalf, and thereby he also continued to have a Shinui, but also allowed the people to be able to hear the lecture. That takes us down to the second wide line. We'll stop there. Have a wonderful day.